Good morning, Aguten Chodesh. This past week's daf is Pei Aleph, in the 11th parak, Maseches Nedarim. Let's see, we can't pass by this Gemara without that just seeing this memra. The Gemara says, "Shoch mitam hizoru ba'arvu visa." Hizor b'chabur and hizor b'vnei aniyim. The arvu visa was relevant to the sugi that we had till now. Hizor b'chabura. The Ran says, "Lilmay Torah b'chaburu." Important to learn Torah b'chaburu. The Ran says the reason for that is Talmid mechadin zezev yesorav. Important to learn Torah with others. By learning Torah with others, the benefit is to the Talmid and the benefit to the Rav. Right, the Talmidim machadin zeh sharpen each other, right, in a discussion in learning with someone else. So there's a sharpening. Now the sharpening that Chazal refers to over here refers to this that things are noticed. Our notice when we discuss in learning with others, some points which are more fine points, which when we're learning by ourselves, we don't notice. And when you're having a discussion with someone else, so that opens up the topic, and you're able to. The nature of things is that the depth starts opening, and the fine points, the dakus of the topic is open. Aside from that, is that there's also the included in this is the mistakes that one makes. That go unnoticed, but when you learn with someone else, so that many times mistakes are revealed and uncovered, and namely, it refers to certain premises that people take on. That's really where the root of a lot of mistakes come from. It's innocent mistakes based on previous premises that we have, and when we're learning with someone else, we're discussing learning with someone else that person might not have the premise, or that person might notice that there's a premise that was taken on, and the premise could be questioned. Not only is that a benefit for the Talmidim, but even for the Rav, right? And like as the Chazal tell us, right, that umitamida yesa mikula, right? And then the reason for that is because the Rav himself really has the sensitivity. And therefore, when something is brought up, he sees much deeper than what it is. You know, as a Talmud could ask an innocent question. You know, but the Rav notices that with this question, there's something fundamental, you know, which the Talmud touched on. So he could appreciate and he sees what a question could bring out, really even more than the one who asked the question himself. That's the Talmidei Yosei Mikulam, and that's the benefit of Limud B'Chabur. That the Gemara says, our Darshan is in a few places, Cherev El Abadim V'Noyalu. My Darshan is a Pasuk. Cherev El Abadim, a very strong Losh. I think Gemara says, more Makas, Cherev El Abadim. Sword is outstretched to the badim, to the singular people who learn bad vivad. The Gemara says, a person should learn b'chavrusa, b'chaburu. Yeah, akaponim. So that is this azhara of hizor b'chabura concerning limud haTorah. And then the last thing that the Shulchan Mitam was Zob of Ne'anim Shemehem Teitzei Torah. Also, Kedai to see the Ran. Right? What is that the Bnei Anim have that Shemehem Teitzei Torah? Specifically in Bnei Anim. The Ran says as follows. Hizob of Ne'anim Lishtadl Lalamdam Torah. You should be careful to teach Bnei Anim, specifically the sons of people who are poor. Shemehen teitzei Torah, because from such conditions, that's the fertile ground for Torah to flourish. The Ran says 2 points. First of all, she'ein lahem esek acher. The Ran says she'ein lahem esek acher. They have nothing else, which is taking up their time and mind. Bnei aniyim, and they can't afford anything else. Is therefore that they really have nothing aside from the Torah, and proper limud haTorah requires that approach. Ein lahem esek acher. So the Bnei Anim, that's their lot, Ein lahem esek acher, but on the contrary, that really is, they have the proper condition for Hatzlocha and learning. And second of all, the Ran says, V'oit she'daitem shvola aleihem. Daitem shvola aleihem. That refers to that they are the situation causes them to be shuffled, to have a lower sense of themselves. That obviously doesn't mean it's low self esteem. What it means is that they don't have the challenge of gaiva, the midas ha-gaiva. And as what we see from over here is a number of the mudim. Person might think maybe the bnei ha'ani himself or the ani himself might feel lacking in his situation. We know that Baruch Shalom is toiv Hashem la'kol, right? Everything that Baruch Shalom is toiv and chesed. But in truth, this Gemara is telling us that this anyone who the Baruch Hu put a person in such a situation like this, this is really the greatest hatova is being set up over here. Baruch Hu is giving this person an efsharus, giving the proper possibility that to be matzliach shemehem teitzei Torah. If a person would realize what the Bnei Shalom is actually giving him, on the contrary, right? The Anias would be, he would consider the Anias as a matana toiva, as a great, great gift. That's on one hand. Right? A limud for us, in our hashkofa, an outlook on a situation. Now, what could be good? What could be good with poverty? You know, people might ask, right? And they would have a hard time with their lot. But this Gemara gives us a little insight that Bnei Aniyim, on the contrary, they have the greatest situation. Right? They have the proper conditions that's necessary. Shemhem Teitzei Torah. On the other hand, that once the Ran tells us that what is it that Bnei Aniyim have, so then it's possible that even someone who's not necessarily Bnei Ani, but if he works to acquire these properties, then he himself will be Matzliach, because the Bnei Aniyim is just a situation which naturally has these conditions. But it's the conditions that causes the Hatzlacha. Right, so if a person, even if he doesn't have the test of Aniyus, but he focuses himself that Ein lo Eisek Acher, Ein lo Eisek Acher, then he could also be zeiche to Hatzlacha in learning. And similarly, the second thing that the Ran mentions, Daitim Shvol Aleim, person could work on that, he could acquire these two midas, then he will also merit Shemehem Teitzei Torah. Okay, let's see a little further. The next Gemara says as follows. The Gemara seems to make an observation that it's not common for the children of Tamid Chacham to be Tamid Chacham. The Ran says, Sha'al Haroiv Einom B'nei Torah. Al Haroiv Einom B'nei Torah. Interesting, like, you think in Talmud Chazal, today we have all the Nisyanis, things, times of Chazal, you would think that, and in Talmud Chazal, the Torah Taka had its proper covered at Torah. Akoponim, the Gemara is viewing a situation. Einem b'nei Torah. It's interesting how the Ran changed a little bit. Right, the Gemara says Tamid Chochom. Right, that's the Lashon Gemara. Right, that Tamid Chochom is not Yotze b'neihem. Ran says, "Shal Rov Einam B'nei Torah." Einam B'nei Torah. What is the connotation of B'nei Torah, and why did the Ran decide to change it from Tamid Chachomim B'nei Torah? Okay, we'll leave with that. We'll leave with that question. Okay. Now, Baker, what we want to get to . Okay, we'll read down the Gemara. The Gemara says a number of reasons. There's a concern over here. Torah Yerushalayim, if the father is a Talmud Chochum and the son will be a Talmud Chochum, Shlo Yomru, they shouldn't say, who's the they? Yerushalayim. Right, the Ran sounds like it's the children themselves. The Ran says, Lo Yilmudu Torah. They're not going to learn. Now the Gemara itself it sounds like in order as if that They're not Tamid Chacham in order that they shouldn't say that. That's what the Gemara would be mashma. The Ran is saying Lo Yilmadu Torah. It sounds like saying that because they consider it, they feel that it should be Yerusha, they don't learn, or they don't put proper effort into learning, because they're relying Yerusha Lahem. That's what the Ran would be mashma. And just Shlo Yomru in the Gemara, that's on Meduktuk, right? How do you translate that?
So I would have thought, right, that Hashem almost is Moneah them. The Lashon sounds like he's Moneah them, mm-hmm. So that people, that the Velt shouldn't think that it's a Yerusha. That's, maybe the Ran didn't want to say that way, because it's not a Vestavra. I mean, if you want to study Torah, why is Hashem going to be Moneah you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why they're... So what I'm thinking maybe to shtim it is that it's a little bit of both. They think, oh, my father, my Zaidi, they were all Talmidei Chachamim. I'm a Talmid Chacham. I don't have to work so hard. It comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of Torah will go down, because they themselves will consider themselves to be a Talmid Chacham, and the Velt will consider them to be a Talmid Chacham. Mm-hmm. But they really didn't steig to get to the level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. That is a nice explanation. Shlo yomru Torah Yerusha hilahem. That's his Rav Sheshes. Where Rav Avivi says, "Kishlo is gadual hatzibur." Shlo is gadual hatzibur. The man says, "Shim lo yhoisa Torah peisekes mehem yogis daitam." That's a concern. Now this over here, like even the Ran, doesn't steer the Gemara differently. This Gemara is also mashma that there's a in order to prevent, right? Kadesh lo yis gadral atzibur. If the Torah would continue on, then there's a concern of yogis daitum. Shim lehoyis oter persekes mehem yagis daitum. Yagis daitum. Now I'm not sure who this is referring to. Is it referring to the children or referring to the Talmud Chacham himself? But that's what this would sound like. In order to prevent that, like that mashmois, the Ram's not touching this differently. The next Gemara says the next mandomar ma'azuch amid nei shehim is gabrim al hatzibur, which Zikirson on the same misgadrim, which is the idea is similar to before, and I mean the Marshal says that. The two Lashonis over here is back at this point that we're touching on, that is it a punishment for what they are doing, or is to prevent it from happening? Ravashi Oimer Mishum de Korul Imshi Chamri. Korul Imshi Chamri. Now the if you see the Mefarish over here, the Mefarish says they call people Chamur. Right? The Mefarish says as follows: She'ein noigin lahem kovid. They don't treat people with the proper honor. Umavazin oisam im neiter shabahem, and they are embarrass other people because of mitnei Torah shebehens. It sounds like he's talking that the Tam HaChofim himself, right? And because he doesn't treat others properly, the punishment is that he doesn't have his children are not Tamid HaChofim. Now, I mean, regardless, I would think that what the Mefarish over here is saying, I mean, it's hard to believe that the Tamid HaChachamim are openly, you know, expressing, calling people Chamorim. Probably what that means is like the Mefarish is saying that their Hanhoga, the way they deal with others, is not with the proper kavod, and that's what gives the message that they view other people on a different level. Sometimes our actions give off a certain message, even though no one's saying it, but that message is transmitted. Now, probably that. If you're talking about Tamid HaChachamim, so it's hard to believe that it's something which is so brazen. It's probably something which is more subtle, and it could be that it's really maybe a sensitivity that those that are not Tamid HaChachamim, they have that sensitivity. When they're dealing with Tamid HaChacham, they feel a little bit, what's the right word? They feel a little
intimidated.
Okay, maybe something like that, or lacking. They feel a little bit lacking, and that could be that the responsibility of a Tamid HaChacham is really to make other people feel comfortable in dealings, and that's what we mean over here. That's what it is, and even this would be considered. Chazal look at that and translate as calling others chamorim. Right? You see something from over here that sometimes when a sensitivity should be felt and picked up on, and even though it's very subtle, but Chazal look at that and translate it according to the level of what a Tam Chacham should be, that it's coined as Koru Le'inshi Chamri. Now let's see Ravina. Ravina says, Oshem Yivorch Matar Tchila She'ein mevorchim b'toyre tchila. Right, what does this mean? To Omar, Vihud Omar Rav, Mai d'chsiv mi yoish ha'chochum yavon ezoiz. The Novi wants to know, I'm more of the Horez, right? That's the question. I'm more of the Horez. Churban Beis HaMikdosh. More of the Haaretz, maybe even greater than that, more of the Haaretz, as the Pope Psukim say. So the Novi says, Mi Chochom, Mi Hoish Chochom Yevon Ezoiz. So who is the one who has the Chochma could understand this? As if it would seem to be that. No, this was a question, couldn't understand, what could have caused this? It was something which was concealed. Dovz enishal l'chacham l'navim, zikir sovim malchei ha'shores, v'loi pershu. No one was able to explain, to give a proper explanation of it. The pasuk continues. That would the seda psukim, the order of psukim would seem to be that the question was asked, and the only one who was able to answer it was Vayem Hashem al Ozmes Terasi. The pasuk says, pasuk continues. Well, in that pasuk, the pasuk says that loy shomo v'koyli v'loy holchubo. Then it's describing what was the claim. Forsake, they forsook the Torah. The loy shomo b'koyli, they didn't listen to my voice. The whole chubo, and they didn't follow in the ways of the Torah. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, she'ein mevolchem b'Torah tchilu. Right, I mean, the more asks, it seems to be the same thing, right? Ha'inu loy shomo b'koyli, ha'inu loy whole chubo. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, she'ein mevolchem b'Torah tchilu. Now, what does this mean? So let's see over here the Ran. This is a famous Ran, a known Ran. Let's see if we can figure out what the Ran is. The Ran brings from the Rabbeinu Yoinu. Let's see. Zok the Ran. We'll see the Ran over here. Zok the Ran. First of all, Ran says she'ein mevorchem b'Torah tchila, tchilas iskom b'chol yoim. Dehainu lasik b'divrei Toira v'harevno v'ashebochar. The Ran refers to the brachas. There's three brachas, right, which is a shaila in the Rishonim, whether v'harevno, right, is considered a separate brach by itself. Will be mashed from the Ran that maybe it is, right? It's like as if there's like this three brachos, right? There's a lasik divitar evna and ashebocha bonum. Now, what does this Ran say? She'im mevochem b'tere tchila, tchilas iskom b'chol yoyim. Tchilas iskom b'chol yoyim. This Ran will be mashma that She'im mevochem b'Torah tchila means that the bracha that is supposed to be made was not made prior to everything else that they were doing. It was made before they were learning, but their learning was not the first thing that was taken care of, that was done. Now, if that's what it is, so we have to know, like, why is the bracha the point, right? I mean, the point should have been that tchilas iskom was something else other than the Torah, right? Why are we stressing the bracha here? Shem bracha mat Torah, tchilas iskom b'chol yoyim. The bracha wasn't made first. The learning wasn't first. Why are we stressing Nakopan, but according to these words in the Ran, it would sound like that what the Taina was that Limna Torah wasn't given that proper primacy that it comes first. Right? Now I don't think it necessarily means that they went to work, you know, and they learned later, right? Probably what it means is again probably on a lower level. The truth is that it is brought lahalacha, right? That let's say like concerning tefillah is concerned, right? You know what person may not do before tefillah iskom, right? That's not, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know things that are your needs and your things. So possibly that's what this means over here, right? That it was lacking in the chashivas of Torah, and this that other things were focused on first. But let's see what the Ran says from the Rabbeinu Yoinu. Right? Dover's initial Chachomim Lefreshu Midrchsi Vayim Hashem Al Ozmes Teirosi Michlal Deleka Deyoda Ladure Taima Elo Kochabrichu Buluchud. It would seem to be like we said that we need Rav Hashem to answer this question. Now that in that in that itself indicates, as we'll see, that you know, it wasn't something which was apparent. It means that in that looking from the outside, everything looked like it was being done right. Mm-hmm. And you know, even to those who have a deeper perception of things, right? I mean, let's see. Zok the Sederan like this. What's also seen? The Megillah Storm Shel Harav Abenu Yoinizal. He says, "I found the Chayis, a manuscript, a Chayis from Rabbeinu Yoina Megillah Storm." Dekra Hachi Daik the Al Shloi Boruchu Batera Tchila of the Oretz. That where did Chazal see that in the pasuk? The following: the Emisa Al Ozam Es Tayrasi Kepashton. That were it to be that the claim against them was like the simple translation "Ozem Esterosin," "Mashem Shavu HaTorah LeOiskimba," they forsook the Torah and they were not involved in Esik HaTorah. They were not learning the Torah, not being mekayim the Torah. So Kishnish LaChacham Levim Ulama LePirshu, Vale Dover Goli Hu Hoyev Akal LeFarish. If that was so what was the difficulty to notice what was being done wrong to explain why of the Oretz? Elavadai oiskim hoyu b'atayra tomid. They definitely were oisik in Torah tomid constantly. That means that, like I was saying, that from the outside view, it looks like, you know, things were really were happening properly. There's proper performance, you know. And couldn't understand what was the taina here. Ulafika choy chacham anavim tmeim al ma of the haaretz. That was what the wonder was. Everything looked right. Atrepisha kosh bopatzmoi. It was the Rebbeinu Shlom had to explain it. Shehu yedeh mamake halev. The Rebbeinu Shloim is the one who knows the Mamaki Halev, Shloim Vok Matera Tchilum. Kloimar, so he explains. What does that mean? Klemmer, Shloihoyo Atera Chashuv Vabeinem Kol Kach Sheheiroi Levorach Aleum. That the Torah didn't have the proper Chashivas that it should be fit to make a bracha. Shloihoyo Oiskim Bolishmo. The intention of their Asik was not, there was something that was lacking in the intention here, lacking in the lishmo. Umitoch kach hoyu mezalzelin v'berkosum. That's why there was a zilzul nebrochum. Now, it would sound like from this line over here that, I mean, the what this shleihoyu mevorchum taret chila means, that they didn't make the bracha before learning. That's what it would sound like. Now, I mean, so that seemingly should have been something which was noticed. You know, if you know, Birkas Hatorah was omitted. So, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe, you know, there are explanations. Some of the Farshim say maybe why it wasn't necessarily done in a degrading way. It was what they held, possibly, but that was a mistake in their approach. But our opponent, but what the Rebbeinu Yonah tells us over here is it says that the. They were learning. They were doing, and the base manager was you know, the Kol Torah was reverberating from the walls. I mean, it was you walk in there, you know, like you would have been astounding, right? And what was going on? Torah was being learned on a great level, and everyone's participation was there. What was missing was something that in the Mamake Alev, in the depths. In the depths of the heart, in the intention, in their minds, something was missing. And And that's what it was. That's what it was. Something unbelievable over here. That how much of a role an intention of something plays. Something could seem to be being done properly, and even like saying Bnei Shlem, Mamakei Alev, Neviim, Chachomim, they couldn't pick it up, right? So, it was obviously something which was so dakistic, such a fine thing that it couldn't have been noticed. Right, it's hard to believe what that means, but that's the point over here, and the ma'aseh, was a proper ma'aseh, the action that was being done, but an intention was missing, and the intention therefore had translated what they were doing into something else. Now, we still have to understand and explain what that is. I mean, so let's say learn Shlei Lishma. I mean, learn Shlei Lishma is that something which is so devastating? Halavai, Chazal tells Leilam, a person should learn Shlei Lishma, Tak Shlei Lishma Bo Lishma. Okay, so there are different explanations on that. But Akupon, but what one point that we're taking out over here is that the intention of something is really something which the true defining factor of what a person does. That's a very important thing. And the truth is that we see this keseder in the Torah view on something that is really the inner intention and concentration working both ways, really. Meaning to say that one could do something, a seemingly great action, but if the intention is not so pure, so then the level, how the Torah looks at that action is lowered greatly. On the other hand, they could have an action which might seem to be something simple, a simple thing, but if it's done with a proper intention, that upgrades that action to something to a great level. As a matter of fact, we see this idea. Takamim, we're heading into the Yontif of Shavuos. By Rus, right? Then the Pesukim Boyaz says that talks to Rus, and he says, "I heard about the great things, the Chesed that you did, with Nami and with the Mason, with her husband." Chazal say that I believe in the Medrash brings that Rus made sure to prepare that the proper preparations in burying someone who dies to have the cheis tachrichim, the proper begodim, clothing. So the question Mefarshim ask over there is, Boaz is saying, he's praising her for the great chesed that she does. Okay, went with Nami in her Mesiras Nefesh, that was unbelievable, but the chesed that she did, with her husband, isn't that would be something that's expected, and it wasn't, it didn't seem to be such a great, something so special. And the Mefarshim Taka say that this is one of the examples of such a thing, which even though the action itself maybe it was not so doesn't seem like something great, and on the contrary, it's something which is expected for everyone to do, and if a person wouldn't do that, we would look down at that person. But the intention, right? Why they're doing it? They're doing it in order for that person to have what they need, upgrades the action to a different level. And you know, that's really what it is. It's an important limit for us, that you know how the Torah looks at the superficial action that's done, whatever it is, carries very, very, very small weight in the view of what the person's doing. It's the intention behind what they do is really what it is. And as a matter of fact, you see, again, that's this idea, and unfortunately, I'll talk about in this week's parasha. It's not this week's parasha, because Shavuos is that, but in parashas Nosa, we'll mention this and have a chance to think about this. Right, in parashas Nosa, so we're all familiar with parashas Nosa, it's the longest parasha, because the pasuk repeats itself 12 times in the Korban Sanhedrin, right, by the Chanukah Sanhedrin. And you know the question. Wilhelm Forsham asked the question: why tackle? Why tackle? Was it repeated? Why was it repeated so many times? I mean, the Torah, which you know, we know that you know every word is accounted for, and we learn halachas from you know a little yitur. And here, the Torah, you know, is just seems to be repeating itself, you know, time after time. What is the pshat in that? So there are different explanations in it. But I believe that the Ramban brings from the Medrash that in truth, even though seemingly every korban that was brought was the same thing, but the reason for these korbanos and the numbers and things, each shevet had a different cheshbon. And it represented something different for each one. So in truth, it was a different korban. But still, the question is, but the Torah doesn't tell us that, right? So the Torah is still seems to be just repeating the same thing over and over again. And I think the answer to that is this idea, because in the eyes of the Torah, When the Torah is telling us parechod, etc., what's important to the Torah is not the physical, you know, acts, you know, the shemen, the seiles. Really, it's the intention. What's behind it, right? So, in the eyes of the Torah, when the Torah is telling this over, right, we're supposed to understand that the Torah is really telling us, you know, the intention of each shevet. That's what it is, and it's hakka something different. Right, that's what it is. That's what it is. Right, that's how the Torah looks at it. Right, so even though it might seem to us superficial people that there's a repetition, but in truth there is no repetition over here. Right, what it is that just delve a little bit deeper than the superficial. Try to get down just a little more than that millimeter. You know, of superficial, right? And you'll see what it is. It's something else. So it's talking not a repetition. Okay, I'll go upon him. So that's one point that we see from over here, that how much the intention plays a role. Now I want to tell you something else that I heard many years ago. On this Gemara over here, it was a number of years ago, probably around somewhere between 35 and 40 years ago. When I was a Balcher in Eretz Yisrael, at that time, Rav Shach was the Rashiva in Ponovich, and They had the Yarchi Kala every year, which was during the summer Ben Azmanim. There was a Yarchi Kala, which the yeshiva, the different Magide Shir, would say Shirim to, and it was open to the public. People, Chayes Balabatim, other people, you know, would come to learn. And this was something which was instituted by the Panvitcher Rav, right, who started the yeshiva. And the Panvitcher Rav, you know, he would speak while he was alive to open up, you know, the Arche Kala, right? However long it lasted, that, you know, that was the inaugural speech, you know, that he would open up. And Rav Shach, after the Panvitcher Rav was nifter, right, Rav Shach, gave that psicha, and you know, he would speak then. You know, that was a point of time that a lot of important hashkofas and things were given over in on Eretz Yisrael, and you know, it made its waves and strengthened the Olam HaTorah. And he said over something from this gemara, and he asked a question. He asked the question over here. He said, "I don't understand. I mean, the Gemara tells us that the question was asked. I'm out of the arts. No one could understand, right? And like Ben Yonah says over here that you know, it was something that was so fine tuned in the deepest recesses of a person's heart." That there was something that was lacking in the intention. You need to go, you can go.
But I think
I got moved. I just realized it.
What?
I it's been a while, but they used to have Gemaras there, and now it's the Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to find it there. It's in the bottom?
No, in the bottom. Very bottom, this one. Oh. Could you see which volume it is? So he asked the question. He asked the question that I mean, if Chachamim, Nevi'im, Malchei Hashoros couldn't notice, so how can you have a tain on the person himself? what are you, right? It was something that was so fine tuned. You know, the person himself didn't notice that there was something missing there. That was the question that he asked. How could we have a tain on the person if the Malchei Hashoros couldn't even pick it up? It was so fine tuned. So he said like this. And I remember when where he expressed this. He said that he was thinking about this, and he said, when I realized what it says in this Gemara, he says that the walls of my apartment started shaking. that's what he, you know, the realization of this idea. And he said that I see from this Gemara that, yeah, a person has the ability by himself, right? The perception even greater than a Novi, than a Malch. That means that a person really has the ability, if he tunes into himself, a person really could notice the fine points. And it is a taina on a person. Right? And so that's something which is unbelievable. See, the truth is, you know, on a certain level, I think each one of us could relate to a certain extent, you know, to that we know, right? That you know, sometimes you could say something which, on the outside, you know, no one notices any, you know, anything wrong with the statement. But you know, you could know that, you know, there was a trace of something there that was coming from a not such a good source. Right? No one could catch you on that because, you know, it's not. But you yourself notice that. Aquaponics, he said, no, unbelievable thing, that, you know, that the ability that a person, that's what he said, that a person has the perception about himself greater than an ovni. Aquaponics, right, that's an idea, that's an important point. Of course, if a person, you know, doesn't focus on it, doesn't look for it, he's not going to find it. But the fact that we just found out that a person has that ability, and it's from the responsibility of a person to use that ability, and if something's missing because that that ability was not used, and things were not purified because of that. You know, right? There's a room for a claim.
Maybe you don't even have to look at it, look for it so much. It's the fact that you don't see it because you're hiding from it.
Yeah, that's
you
that's,
don't you don't want to see it.
Right, that's true. That's true. That's probably what it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Akoponim. Okay, so this is Gemara. You know, of course, a full good explanation. You know, to take this, you know, as of the Ha'aretz, you know, still needs explanation. Maybe if you look in the Bach, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Birkas HaTorah, maybe you'll see over there. I think what he says in explanation on this akoponim. But just taking out a few points from the Gemara, from this Gemara over here that's relevant to us is this is what the Bali Musar, those who know how to extract different points from the Gemara from different Agodas Chazal, this is what they have taught us. Okay,
you see here a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonah and the. I didn't really notice it until I heard the way you were speaking it out. It sounds like the Ran is learning Techila to mean the first part of the first thing you do in the day, is the Rabbeinu Yonah is learning Techila means before you learn Torah.
Right.
Techila is...
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One is a Chisaron in the Bracha itself, the other is a Chisaron in your timing of the Bracha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what it would seem like to me. Right.
I mean, both are a reflection of not having Chashiva Satora.
Mm-hmm.
The common denominator.
Right.
So maybe it's not so important, but...
Right. But what exactly Tchila is, right, you know, so we know that the Marsha says another pshat in the Tchila, Shem Yavoch Metreira Tchila, that he learns based on a Gemara and Megillah, right? The Gemara and Megillah over there, that's those Shnais over here to talk about the order of the Aliyahs in the Torah. Part of Megillah is Dine Beis HaKnesses. The Seder Aliyahs are Kohen, Levi, Israel, and in the Sugs over there talk about Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham maybe, you know, could have or should be get the first Aliyah. So the Gemara over there says something about that if a Talmud Chacham allows an Am HaOretz to get the first Aliyah when he's there, so the Gemara says, it's like a punishment for that. I remember Lashon Chazal, but the Marsha builds it, and that's what he learns. Emevorchem b'Torah Tchila means that the reason why they're not zeichem, the children of Talmid Chachamim, comes from this, that they're not upholding the Chashivas of Torah to be makbid, that they should get the Aliyah, not someone else. Even though they might be doing it, you know, as an ananivis or something like that, but it's a zilzul in the Kavod HaTorah. Right? That's what he says. Shame. That's how he attaches mivorchem b'Torah Tchila. Right? To get that, refers to that to the first Aliyah, to make sure that they get that first Aliyah, which is. The idea is also an important point that there's a time and place for everything, right? And Kavod HaTorah is not a personal thing for the Talmud Chacham. Right? Kavod HaTorah is Kavod of the Torah itself, and the Talmud Chacham, he carries that crown, and he has to uphold the Kavod HaTorah, and therefore, it directs his behavior, and therefore, there's a time and place for anivus and shiflus, and to allow an Am HaOretz to get that first aliyah when he's there. That will be a zilzul in the Kavod HaTorah. And his responsibility is to uphold the Kavod HaTorah. Okay, let's see. Let's see over here. We're up to, okay. Okay, let's move on over here. Zot Gemara. Yeah, and then maybe you could tell me a little bit how to read this next Gemara. Gemara says Amais, right? Isi bar Yehuda liyosla nesifta jabiyisi plosa yoyimi. He didn't come to Beis Medrash. Didn't come to Beis Medrash for 3 days. Isi bar Yehuda. Now, we have a Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, right? He's the one who's all on the Chachamim. Now, like, who's who over here? Yossi by Yehuda didn't come, right? We'll see if, right? Ashkechei Vardimus Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's son, this Rabbi Yossi, Vardimus, met up with Isi. Omale, my timely Yossim Malbek, be Majosha da Abba Hotlosa Yoimin. We miss you, right? You haven't been in the base medrash of my father the last 3 days. Omale, ki time adovuchli yadana hecha Isoi. He said, I'm having a little difficulty. You know, your father said something in the Shir, which, you know, it's hard for me to tolerate such a thing. You know, what's the source for that? And apparently, he was so bothered at that he couldn't come. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now again. So who's who? I mean, this means Rabbi Yossi is in our mission is a katana, right? Are these? It doesn't sound like these are. These Tanoim over here. I mean, you know, this is a Tana generation over here. We're talking about
why not?
Yeah, okay, maybe it is. Yeah, I don't know. Just Isi bar Yehuda.
Sound like the names they had in the days.
Maybe not. And I just you know.
Vardimus also sometimes a little bit.
Well, that name Bichlal, right? We don't. But okay, but it would sound like this is, you know, in this is
somebody said something recently. You can be maskim or not maskim to,
mm-hmm.
Said not everybody who lived 600 years ago was a Rishon. And even people who might have been a shul rabbi and lived 600 years ago, they weren't necessarily a Rishon.
That's true. Akoponim. So that's what it would sound like, right? That we're talking about our Rabbi Yossi over here, and Akoponim time davach leyadana hecha asoy Omar le lema mar mai ko Omar. See, it sounds like he was telling him, why don't you find out? Is that what he was saying over here? You should have asked, Duma Yodano Taime. Lema Mar, Mai, Ko'omar, Komali. What did he tell him over here? Right? Duma Yodano Taime. Maybe I know the answer. Why didn't you ask me? So that's what he was saying over here.
Well,
that's how you read it?
I mean, like
now,
okay. But I think so.
Now, Omar Lei, Hadassanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Right, now this also sounds like we're quoting something else, right? You know, if this was happening in the Tanoic stay era, right? Mm-hmm. Then you know, like, he wouldn't be.
Maybe this isn't actually the words he said. Gemara saying Amar Lei, he said back to him Hadatano, but he didn't say those actual words. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I missed what was bothering you. I thought that was bothering you, no?
Well, see, Omar le'ahodis sanya, b'yoyisiyem k'risosin koidmin l'chaya cherim kro minolon. Now, why is he quoting? Hodasan usually is like a braisa, right? Which was recorded what Tanoim said, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if this whole conversation was happening, you know, back, you know, before it was recorded, because you know it was the shir, right? So then, right, that's what's a little confusing over here to know like, where are we? What point of time are we? So how are you saying, Michael?
I'm saying that this is like an interjection of the Gemara. It's not an actual quote.
Oh.
It's not Amar Le, like he literally said back to him, Hadatan, Rabbi Yossi Omer. It's that the Gemara is saying, what did he say back to him? He said back to him what we see in our Brisa.
Oh, okay. That's how they read it there?
Well, let me look closely,
I was having a little difficulty reading Gemara.
He replied to him with that which was taught in the Braisa, right? So just like you said.
Okay. I wouldn't have chopped that. That's what it means.
I also did a chop it until you asked the question.
Okay.
You asked the question, so then I had an
okay,
answer.
So that's what you said before, right? So right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, very good. Okay, so we have the immediate benefits. Now we understand what that means. Yeah, okay. Omalei hadasanya b'yisim k'misos l'kom l'chayir acherim kro minolon.
Right, so that's part of the... It sounds like...
So now let's get there. Who's talking to who? See,
yeah.
let's say...
Right. Meaning who said kro minolon?
Yeah, and there's too many omaleis over here, right? You know, that's a little confusing. Right. You know, see, Vardimus told... Isi bar Yehuda, that you know, why didn't you ask me, someone, right?
I mean, I think the Ran might address this, right?
Oh yeah.
Time to avuch lo yadona, the amar kavisa nekonim laachirim. I don't know why he said. I don't understand that. Vaha svara leisa. There's no svara that you could have said such a thing. And because I hold there's no such a svara, so now I'm going to ask you, ulahachi boy, kormen alim. Meaning, I'm already saying I don't. I'm not even going to be maskim if you try to tell me that it's me a svara. I'm not going to accept that. So now I'm going to ask you, where is it? What's the pasuk?
Now didn't that happen all before? When you know at the beginning he said to him.
I don't know where he got it.
Time of the avuchlo yadana hecha asoi, right? Where it comes from.
Right.
Right? I thought that's what the Ram was explaining. Right. There got to be a source for it.
So the way I think I'm reading it here is that so you know he answered similar to what we saw in the Braisa, right? And then the Braisa says the halacha and then brings the basa, right? In other words, we have it without, you know, we have it, let's say, Rabbi Yossi, without the pasa, you know, without the source, but the Braisa brings the pasa.
And now, based on what you were saying before, I mean, he told him over, he had some inside information that wasn't said in the Shir.
Right.
By us, you know, years later, it was recorded in the Braisa.
Right.
He was telling him, right, what the true source was.
So.
Let me just see how to read it. Omar Le, Hodis Sanyo. I mean, so Omar Le, he told him over what this that we have as a braisa.
And then it quotes the braisa, which quotes the pasuk.
Pesim Kisosan Krominolon. Is that all part of the braisa? I mean, it doesn't sound like it's a part of the braisa. No, the Omar Le, the Chsiv. Is that part of the braisa? How does that read?
I mean, that's how I understood it, but maybe not.
Rabbi Yossi Omer could be something. Mean in the braisa, someone asked Rabbi Yossi, is that how we're going to read this? And Rabbi Yossi replied. that source?
I mean, right? Again, that's, you know, that's the whole issue that we want to find out here is what's the source.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we say that the source is similar to, and he answered similar to what the Braisa said, so you would assume that the Braisa brought the Pasuk.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, so the Omar Lay would sound like it's part of our story. So that this,
right, the Omar Lay is part of our story.
Even the, like a second Omar Lay, the Omar Lay that Siv Umigusheim, is that part of our story, or that is in happening in the Braisa?
Mm-hmm. Where's the second Omar Lay? I'm sorry.
After it says only Hadisanya, very same Pisas and Kodin Lechaya Cherim, Kro.
Kromanamarle.
Right.
So, yeah, I understood that as part of the Braisa, but maybe not.
Oh, interesting. Understanding a little bit differently.
See, because usually in a Braisa, you wouldn't have like a Manolan and an Amarle. Right?
Well, an Amarle, I agree with you. A Manolan.
You know, it would be like a Dichsiv. You know, I know maybe there's like an interjection over here, you know, in their conversation. But the Braisa usually would say, Reisi Emrakas and Kanachai Manolan, you know, Dichsiv. You know, that's what a Braisa would say, right?
Right.
Manolan and Amarle, you know, like you're saying, that's like sort of, that's their conversation, and Gemara is referencing, you know, a Braisa which was, recorded based on you know what was said originally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do occasionally. We had like certain mishnas where there's a conversation back and forth between, you know, Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi, and it'll say, you know, Amr Lehem or Amr Lehem. It does happen, so it's not. I guess it's possible. I don't really see it that way. That this is all part of the Braisa, but I'm not sure it's impossible.
Yeah, Akopan. Let's see over here. Okay, so just the reading over here was a little difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Akopanim, the source is as follows: Umigrusheim Yulevehemtom, and the pasuk continues, Ulchochayosam. And Zokti Gemara, what is my chayosam? What does that mean? What does that refer to? Ilem chayov, but. So if it means, you know, not only behemoth but chayis also, that's what that iri will be used for. That if it refers to things, use that iria for things that will keep them alive. There's a pshita. I have to also work out this gemara over here. Okay, well, I just want to read through, and then you'll help me. How we told you, Elolav Kbisa, right? So there's the word in the pasuk Chayosam. We're learning from there because of there is no other explanation of it. So it must be referring to Kbisa, and the pasuk calls it Chayosam. Da'ikat Zayra, the Arvuvisa, and that's why. Kbisa, the washing of clothing, is referring to chayosam, right, which was mentioned before. The arvuvisa is the cause of shiamumisa. Right, person is living with unclean clothing, so it affects his sanity. I believe that's what that means in some way. But now let's hear it go again. Right? We want to know what chayosam means in the pasuk. Now the Gemara says that if it means chayosam mamish, simple essentials, that face things or water that keeps a person alive. The Gemara says a pshita on that. I'm not sure what the pshita is. What's the pshita? The pasuk doesn't have to tell me. Doesn't tell me about them. I mean, the pasuk is telling us that the levim, that's the pasuk is talking about over there, right? The ori halvim, they're given from other shvatim certain places, and there's a migrash, there's an open area which is used for, the pasuk is enumerating what it should be used for, and the pasuk says it should be used for chayosam. Now, what the Morris says, chayosam pshita, I'm not sure exactly what like the pshito in that is. Right? We're not telling you a chiddush over here. So, why is the question pshita a reason why it can't mean chayosam mamish? But Akoponim, the Gemara continues. Fine, it can't mean that. So what must it mean? It must mean kvisa. So the obvious question over here is that not maybe it means rechitza, right? Right? What? Why? Right? Are we starting with a premise that rechitza definitely is not? And the question just is it possible that kibisa is chayosam, right? And how would you understand that?
Meaning, if you were going to ask on Rabbi Yossi, why are you? Meaning, Rabbi Yossi learns that kibisa is worse than rechitza,
right? Because the pasuk calls it chayosam, right?
Right. So is he learning that from this very pasuk? Is he learning that kibisa is more than rechitza from this very pasuk, or learning that kibisa is kodmim l'chay acherim?
Well,
because
he already
knows the kavisa is worse than rechitza, and now he's adding chayosim, adds one more thing. So in achinami, if you know
rechitza
is worse,
so we're not. I mean, the Gemara says that he could say the avu visa, right? It would sound like that.
Masha'in came by rechitza.
And so what I thought the Gemara was saying because of this idea. We're introducing this idea. The pasuk is introducing this idea. Or according to what you're saying, we're seeing from here that this idea that we know already is more means more than we might have thought. That means until this point we know it's a tired gufa. Maybe in Hilchos Nedarim, you know, it might be considered in nefesh, but we didn't know that in Hilchos Pekuach Nefashos. You know, it does that. That's what you want to say. That's what the pasuk calls it. Chayosam is a source that in Hilchos Pekuach Nefashos, not only in Hilchos Nedarim. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I didn't.
See,
I thought it was talking about the Ikar Haloch, but okay.
And he used the term Pikuach Nefashos here. And I had noticed in the run, I don't think he used that term. He used Chai Nefesh, I think. So Pikuach Nefesh. Where Davis and I had a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody comes up to you and their mamish going to die if they don't get a drink, and you're like, no, I have to do my laundry. I just don't think that even Rabbi Yossi would say, you know, no, I'm sorry, you die, I have to do my laundry. I just don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is more of dealing with some kind of an ongoing situation. You've got two towns, and one town's going to have to relocate. They're basically going to have to relocate because they're not going to have drinking water. Or they'll stay where they are and have drinking water, and the other town, their whole town's not going to be able to do laundry. They're going to be living in a matzav of no laundry. And in such a situation, then Rabbi Yossi says, you relocate, and they need to do their laundry. It's not...
Mm-hmm. How did you understand the Shlomo?
Well, just on the point that you were saying, I mean, I want to say that the Maase of Chol Yom is we take Chol Hamoed trips, even though I guarantee that if you take the money that you could have used for a Chol Hamoed trip, probably you could pay for someone's operation that would save his life. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's such a chiddush to say, you know, chayehim kodem is that a certain amount of our money is expected to give the tzedakah, right? But we're not supposed to, or whatever, we don't.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not contradicting it, but I'm going to tell you this. The first time I lent money to somebody, and they hadn't paid me back after a few years, and they went on a fancy vacation with their family that I didn't go on, the first time I got angry. The second, third time that it happened to me with other people, I said to myself, you know, a vacation with your family is also an important thing. It's okay.
Okay, I know.
But I'm not contradicting. I hear what you're saying. I hear your point is a good point, but...
But as is laundry. You know, it's living without doing laundry, despite,
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's going to be, there's going to be a Leviathan someplace, right? And we don't, we don't...
Right. You're just saying you're saying it could be even in the case where I'm saying, I mean, maybe not if the guy's mom is standing in front of you, but as a general thing, even if other people are going to die, you're still allowed to do your laundry. Mm-hmm. You can't say, give them your laundry money. I hear that. I hear that.
This is tackle the point that you're raising is like not so simple, right? What that means, but I think there definitely is a difference whether the situation, like you're saying, is in front of you or not.
There also might be a difference with this public, whether this water is public or private. I don't know, I'm not sure how that fits into the. Into the picture is that here you have a river that I would understand Lachor, it's Hefker, and you have the first right to it, and so therefore you can acquire it. But maybe there are maybe there are policies of how to divide up public
resources.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. This definitely needs a little more explanation, right?
No question that if it's in front of you, that I would ruin the trip.
Right, right. Yeah, I hear.
I mean, there definitely is a halacha pikuach nefashos that a person is. It's his responsibility. The question is, at what point does it become his responsibility? But there definitely is a person's mechuyev to save someone else's life. Okay, but that's a discussion by itself.
I get emails every day about. I should joke about it, but yeah.
So these kind of things, if you're getting, someone else is coming to you, the situation is not in front of you, mm-hmm. that might be something else. That's a question of, allocating your stock.
So what is this case where,
right,
where
so
the water
what,
is?
I don't know what this is
coming down the stream and
the people from the next. From the next town are knocking on your door and then they're is that what we're talking about or they're not? It's just a mashulach, knocking at your door and he's collecting for the people in the next city, But Okay. But definitely this specific application over here.
If you want to look in the Shulchan Aruch again, this happened last week too.
Mm-hmm.
See how the Mechaber understood this.
Okay, because I have to see how things play out, halach over here. In Hilchus Nidorin, we pass like Rabbon and not like Rabbi Yossi. Right, that's what the Ran says. Agapona, you know, it's the Ran's sentence. It's a.
I'm not going to find Rabbi Yossi's opinion.
It looked like that, but that's in Hilchos Nidorim, right? You know, as far as you know, if something is different in Hilchos Pikuach Nefoshos, you have to find the right sources over there. You know, if you see something, but you might not find it over there if you pass like the Rabbanon. So this is not going to. You're not going to find that in Halochim.
Mm. No, I didn't just mention it. I don't know if you looked in the Rambams, but I see that the Rambam holds these passings like Rabbi Yossi, but
right.
Rambam is very confusing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just put it that way. It's not so pashut to me that you can shtim him so well with Rabbi Yossi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that maybe we'll hold it over here for today. Okay. Message then we'll pick up next week. I just want to mention without going into it, but I just wanted to mention just from last week. We were talking about the Ran on Daf Pei, Rabbeinu Yoina with the Blazmi Mitz over here, and someone wanted to know whether there's a machlekes or not a machlekes, and I just wanted to correct it. Initially, I thought that there was a machlekes, but the way the Ran brings it, it sounds like that you know that there is not necessarily machlekes. It sounds like that he's working with both of them together. That's what it sounds like to me. When the Ran says Lupisha ben Yena osi le shaper tfei. That it would sound like according to Rabbeinu Yoina, what Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz says is understood that much better. That's what I thought the Ran was saying. So that there is not necessarily machlokes. Okay, but to go into the problem of that again, I'm not holding by opening up that sugya again. But just in case I steered someone wrong, I just wanted to correct that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, square everyone. Okay.